Before I read today's scripture passage, I wanted to let you know that I was in a bit of a quandary this week when it came to deciding what to preach. For one, it's Stewardship Emphasis Sunday, so I figured I needed to at least say something about stewardship. However, we moved Stewardship Sunday up a week from previous years, making it land on what is traditionally on this last Sunday in October, Reformation Sunday. And you may remember we had a very big emphasis on the Reformation last year because it was the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's nailing of the 95 Theses, according to tradition, on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany in 1517. But the assigned lectionary passage for this Sunday, which occurs every 3 years, is the story of the healing of blind Bartimaeus, which most preachers neglect because of deciding to focus instead on the Reformation, or like today, Stewardship Emphasis Sunday. And I could have pulled out one of the oldies but goodies scripture passages like the one we heard in Galatians for a stewardship sermon. But I pulled my file on this particular passage from Mark 10 this week, and I see that I've preached on it only once before. And that was way back in 1991. 27 years ago, when I was serving as a seminary intern at First Presbyterian Church in Canyon, Texas, outside of Amarillo. And by the way, it also reminded me that here in October was the 25th anniversary of my ordination, which for me is a big deal. But I decided to take on the challenge of finding some kind of connection between this story and living life as a good steward. So here we go. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. And God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Let me start with something that is almost always overlooked. The name of the man who was healed. Rarely in the Gospels is a name given to someone who was healed by Jesus. But here we are given the name of the blind beggar. By the way, that's basically a redundant set of words. If persons in that ancient culture were blind, then most likely they lived the life of a beggar. But Mark provides this name, Bartimaeus. So this must be important for some reason. And the easy answer is that this person was an actual historical figure. And this just happens to be his name. But there are other possibilities. Like Mark intentionally chose this name for a metaphorical meaning. Bartimaeus, which even in the scriptural text says is the son of Timaeus. And the root of the word for Timaeus or Timai has a couple of different possible meanings. And this ambiguity itself may have been intentional on the part of the gospel writer, something that the author of the Gospel of John does all the time. One translation of the root of the Greek-derived name Timaeus means honor. So it might then be able to translate Bartimaeus as the honored one. An alternative root of the word means something almost completely different. Unclean, impure, even an abomination. In this case, Bartimaeus could mean son of the unclean ones, which is in keeping with the general bigotry against those with disabilities that they thought was an inherited parental fault or sin. Now, what does any of this name study have to do with stewardship? Well, I hope I'll get to that. We already know that Bartimaeus, because of his blindness, was at the fringe of society. And the interpretation of his name as son of the unclean adds to this reality of being an outsider. And Mark adds to this by saying that Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside, which is another indication of his exclusion. And his crying out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me," applies the messianic term to Jesus. So perhaps Mark's point is that the son of David chooses to engage with the son of the unclean, even though the disciples tell the man to be quiet and to leave Jesus out of this. If one goes with the interpretation of the honorable one, then Jesus' interaction with this person at the fringe of society brings him out of that condition into one of honor. And both understandings of this name then contribute to the impact of this story. Jesus hears Bartimaeus call out to him, and he asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus offers the dignity of asking someone long sidelined and silenced to speak for himself, to have his voice heard and honored and tended. When countless people sternly ordered Bartimaeus to be quiet, to not make a scene, don't disrupt, accept your own fate, Jesus stops, calls for him, and asks him, "What do you want?" Jesus listens and gives Bartimaeus that for which he asks, requiring, and this perhaps is the most important point, requiring nothing in return. Jesus tells him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And this has a spiritual connotation as well as a physical one. Bartimaeus instead chooses to follow Jesus, quote, on the way. In other words, he becomes a follower of Jesus and therefore engages in active discipleship as his response of gratitude. That's the key. Theological and practical understandings of good stewardship are almost always tied to our response of gratitude. And imagine if Jesus' disciples, the church, Christ's body, this congregation, you and me, responded likewise to the marginalized, the silenced, the suffering, and the vulnerable. Like in this story, every blind person has a name, a place, a history, their own story. And one of the things I am intentional about is whenever someone rings the church doorbell in need of help, I always make sure to introduce myself and then ask them their name. It serves as an act of respect, an extension of dignity, and a simple recognition of their humanity. And who knows, this is what they may need more than a handout. So when someone cries out for help, at the very least, we ought not to order them to be silent. As followers of the ways and teachings of Jesus, we, like him, must honor and acknowledge the pain and hurt of those made in the image of God. And Jill Duffield, the editor of the Presbyterian Outlook, adds this comment. "Some of us, myself too, often included, value politeness and civility over justice. I confess to being guilty of bowing down to the golden calf of decency and order. Those exploited, abused, neglected, and hurting should cry out and be heard. God desires abundant life for all people, not a false peace for those with the ability to cross to the other side of the street or roll up their window." You may remember a sermon from not too long ago, reflecting upon how interruptions into our daily life routines can become opportunities for ministry. When someone asks you, "Do you have a minute?" a first response may be an honest no. But perhaps the Christ-like response is to stop and see and hear and attend to the person that you and I perceive as an interrupter. And in this story, Jesus asks Bartimaeus what he wants, and that's a good precedent. Too often, we good-intentioned church folks often presume to know what other people want or need. Only later we learn that perhaps we shouldn't have presumed that we know best. There's often a white savior mentality that accompanies us into the ministry field, whether that be in Nicaragua or North Tulsa, in the area suffering from a natural disaster, or a stranger who approaches us on the street. Bartimaeus asked Jesus for the ability to see, which is often a metaphor in the Gospels for spiritual sight, not just physical sight. And this is meant to contrast in part with the story that immediately precedes this one, which we looked at last Sunday. You may remember that James and John asked Jesus to do whatever they ask of him. And Jesus asked them the same question that he will later ask of Bartimaeus: "What is it you want me to do for you?" Well, in hopes of being seen as the greatest, they asked for positions of power, to sit at the right and left hand of Jesus in his glory. And the disciples in this gospel often just don't get who this Jesus is and what it truly means to be a follower of his way. So Jesus had to remind them that discipleship means serving others, not being served. And that's why last Sunday we explored what it means to be a servant leader. Bartimaeus, in contrast, simply asks for sight. And note, and this is important, Jesus gives Bartimaeus that for which he asks with nothing required in return. This is no transaction, no quid pro quo. There is no gratitude or deference that is expected. Jesus freely gives, and Bartimaeus is free to respond as he is moved. So Jesus says, "Go," and Bartimaeus chooses to follow Jesus on the way. Would that we give and serve freely without always looking for something in return, to allow others simply to respond however they do, without us burdening them with our expectations. So as it turns out, there are many connections with good stewardship in this story. In the area of sharing our time and talents, remember that that not only includes just work tied directly here to College Hill, it includes your personal lives. And being a good steward like Jesus in this story means being willing to respond to those who are sidelined and silenced by the community. And sometimes that response may involve financial resources. And the same applies to me as a pastor and to us together in our ministry efforts as a congregation. So in addition to your own personal responses in your daily life, it is through the giving of your time and talents and financial resources, much as Tally just said, that we are able to engage in a wide variety of ministries that help people in this very neighborhood, this city, throughout this country, and even worldwide. And it allows me and others in this congregation, as a representative of College Hill in the community, to actively engage in important interfaith work that continues to grow in this city. And I know that will certainly involve interaction this week with our Jewish community in the aftermath of the hate crime massacre of 11 inside a Jewish synagogue in Pittsburgh as they were at a child naming ceremony. And it also allows me and others in this congregation to actively participate and lend an ear and a voice in discussions and rallies dealing with issues around race relations in this city and with the LGBTQ community and other issues of justice and inclusion. As I often hear, it does make a difference that College Hill is in this town. So yes, offering the opportunity for you and I to give of our time, talent, and financial resources to the church does indeed help to maintain the building and grounds, to have a vibrant music program and meaningful children's ministries, to offer services of worship and times of fellowship, and to employ a professional staff. But it also makes it possible as a congregation to reach out, to listen to and minister to folks like Bartimaeus. So whether we engage with someone who society deems as on the fringe or unclean, or as someone who has been bestowed with honor, our annual budget becomes a spiritual document. And it declares to ourselves and to the public our priorities and our efforts to be good stewards and disciplines and to follow Jesus on the way. Amen.